शृण्वतां स्वकथाः कृष्णः पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः हृदयन्तस्तो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। श्री कृष्ण द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज द परमात्मा सुपर सोल इन एवरी वन्स हार्ट एंड द बेनिफैक्टर ऑफ द ट्रूथफुल डिवोटी cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. तदा रजस्तमो भावाः कामलोबादयश्च ये चेत एतैर् अनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति। As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya grantesh chidyante sarva samshayah क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे।
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
राधा पद गिरी गवर्धन की जाए, श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाए, नवदुर्गाम की जाए, गंग जमुन तुलसी भक्त देवी की जाए, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाए, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाए, गौ प्रेमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द बॉडीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द बॉडीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द बॉडीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु श्री गौरांग, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गौरांग।
माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राम गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी Yasoda Nandana, Brother Janaranjana, Yasoda Nandana, Jamunati Ravana Chari, Jamunati Raya Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Jaya Randama. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya.
Jaya Vishnava, Bhadavaha, Shubhava, Radhi, Kataria, Alpha, Sikhvita, E.C., Bhaktivedanta, Swami, Shri Prabhupada, Ki, Jai, Namachar, Haridas, Thakur, Ki, Jai. Param Sugaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai, Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda, Shama Kunda Radha Kudda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Givandavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadhar Dham Ki Jai, Gang Shramona Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai, Samavetta Bhakta Vrindiki Jai, Go Premanandi, All Glorious Namadavadis. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Banaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Chinamane Namaste Sarasota Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasudhi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 82, verse. Tam gyatva manuja rajan purastat eva sarvataha samanta panchakam kshetram yayu shreyo vidutsaya.
Thank you.
tham, the nyava, knowing, manuja, people, rajan, O king, for a start, beforehand, eva, even, sarvata, from everywhere, samanta panchakam, named samanta panchaka, kshetram, to the field, yayu, went, shreya, benefit, viditsaya, wishing to create. Translation, knowing this eclipse in advance, O king, many people went to the holy place known as Samanta Panchaka in order to earn highest credit. Purport, Vedic astronomers of 5,000 years ago could predict eclipses of the sun and moon just as well as our modern astronomers can. The knowledge of the ancient astronomers went much further, however, since they understood the karmic influence of such events. Solar and lunar eclipses are generally very inauspicious, with certain rare exceptions. But just as the otherwise inauspicious, a goddess becomes beneficial when used for the glorification of Lord Hari, so the time of an eclipse is also advantageous for fasting and worship. The holy pilgrimage site known as Samanta Panchaka is located at Kurukshetra, the sacred ground of the Kurus, where the Kuru kings' predecessors performed many Vedic sacrifices. The Kurus were thus advised by learned Brahmanas that this would be the best place for them to observe vows during the eclipse. Long before their time, Parsaram had done penance at Kurukshetra to atone for his killings. Samanta Panchaka, the five ponds he dug there, were still present at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, as they are even today. After ridding the earth of kings, Lord Parsaram, the foremost of warriors, created huge lakes from the king's blood at Samantaka Panchaka. Although he is never tainted by karmic reactions, Lord Parsaram performed sacrifices there to instruct people in general. Thus he acted like an ordinary person trying to free himself of sins. From all parts of Bharatvarsha, a great number of people now came to that Samanta Panchaka on pilgrimage, O descendant of Bharata. Among those arriving at the holy place were many Rishnis, such as Gauda, Pradumna, and Samba, hoping to be relieved of their sins. Akura, Vasudev, Ahuka, and other kings also went there. Aniruddha remained in Dwarka with Suchandra, Sukha, and Sharana to guard the city, together with Kritavarma, the commander of their armed forces. Purport, according to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, Sri Krishna's grandson Aniruddha remained in Dwarka to protect the city because he is originally Lord Vishnu's manifestation as the guardian of the spiritual planet, Svetadvip. The mighty Yadavas passed with great majesty along the road. They were attended by their soldiers who rode on chariots rivaling the airplanes of heaven, on horses moving with rhythmic gait, and on bellowing elephants as huge as clouds. Also with them were many infantrymen as effulgent as celestial vidyadharas. The Yadavas were so divinely dressed, being adorned with gold necklaces and flower garlands and wearing fine armor, that as they proceeded along the road with their wives, they seemed to be demigods flying through the sky. At Samanta Panchaka, the saintly Yadavas bathed and then observed a fast with careful attention. Afterwards, they presented Brahmanas with cows bedecked with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. In accordance with scriptural injunctions, the descendants of Rishni then bathed once more in Lord Parsaram's lakes and fed first-class Brahmanas with sumptuous food. All the while they prayed, may we be
granted devotion to Lord Krishna. Report. The second bath marked the end of their fasting on the following day. Then, with the permission of Lord Krishna, their sole object of worship, the Vrishnis ate breakfast and sat down at their leisure beneath trees that gave cooling shade. The Yadavas saw that many of the kings who had arrived were old friends and relatives, the Matsyas, Ushinaras, Kaushalyas, Vidarbhas, Kurus, Srinjayas, Kambojas, Kaikayas, Madras, Kuntis, and the kings of Anarta and Kerala. They also saw many hundreds of other kings, both allies and adversaries. In addition, my dear King Parikshit, they saw their dear friends, Nanda Maharaj, and the cowherd men and women who had been suffering in anxiety for so long. As the great joy of seeing one another made the lotuses of their hearts and faces bloom with fresh beauty, the men embraced one another enthusiastically. With tears pouring from their eyes, the hair on their bodies standing on end, and their voices choked up, they all felt intense bliss. The women glanced at one another with pure smiles of loving friendship, and when they embraced, their breasts smeared with saffron face pressed against one another as their eyes filled with tears of affection. They all then offered obeisances to their elders and received respect in turn from their younger relatives. After inquiring from one another about the comfort of their trip and their well-being, they proceeded to talk about Krishna. Purport. These are the special dealings of Vaishnavas. Even the family entanglements that dilute ordinary conditioned souls are no encumbrance for those whose family members are pure devotees of the Lord. Impersonals have no capacity for appreciating these intimate dealings, since their philosophy condemns as illusory any kind of personal, emotional existence. When followers of impersonals pretend to understand the loving relationships of Krishna and his devotees, they only create havoc for themselves and whoever listens to them. So, here we have the events, the first events of this story told. That is, the people gathered and they went to the place and they bathed, and then they fasted, and then they bathed again, then they ate their meals, and then they discussed among themselves about Krishna and other topics like that. So that's the basic setting. And in the among the people that came there, we find various groups of people, and the people of Vrindavan also came there. So here, the eclipse itself generally is considered inauspicious, impure. It's not a normal event. We have the sun shining in the sky, and it sets at night. So that's regular. And if that is interrupted, then that is inauspicious. So when the sun or the moon gets dark, when it's not supposed to, then that is considered inauspicious. Of course, the sun sets at night, and every month we have a Amavasya where the moon is also dark, but that's very regular and predictable, happens all the time. So even then, of course, generally the Amavasyas are not considered auspicious, dark moon. So when we have eclipses of the sun and moon, which means when it's supposed to be a full moon, or the sun is shining in the daytime and then it suddenly goes the opposite, then that's considered to be very irregular and inauspicious. Of course, the idea of darkness is automatically there, tamas, by the absence of light. So at those times, generally, is considered to be great impurity. So we know that in Lord Chaitanya's time, they counteracted the impurity by bathing in the Ganga and chanting the name of the Lord. Here, they counteracted that impurity by fasting and bathing in the Samanta Panchaka place. So, as is mentioned here, the place was at Kurukshetra, the field of the Kurus. So it was this whole dynasty of Kuru members and others that gathered here because it was sacred to them. And moreover, Parsaram had here done austerities also, sacrifices, etc., to purify himself of killing so many Kshatriyas. So therefore it is the pastime place of an avatar of the Supreme Lord. So it gets added significance because of this. So to create purity, the people went there and bathed in the river, in the ponds, and they fasted. So fasting is, of course, also a purificatory process. We see people fast on Ekadasi, or we fast on the appearance day of the Supreme Lord. So the fasting is a type of purification of the body. Fasting, of course, means absence of food. And generally, because our bodies are not in such good shape or whatever, the fasting is very beneficial to purify the body by simply not eating it as a purificatory effect. So this, of course, is made more auspicious by fasting on certain days. So we purify ourselves on the appearance day of Krishna or on Ekadasi, and then we perform spiritual activities like hearing and chanting, etc. So then this becomes very spiritually beneficial. It's not simply a physical purification, but rather it becomes an opportunity for advancing spiritually. Since it is the appearance day of the Lord, or Ekadasi is called Harivasara, the day of the Lord. So very, very special for honoring the Supreme Lord. So if we worship the Lord on those particular days, we get some special benefit from that. So fasting is considered to be purificatory, but then it's done along with spiritual activities, it becomes very, very powerful. Now, in this case, that we have the eclipse. So the eclipse is not considered to be very auspicious, but we counteract that by the fasting process, and that way we purify our body. And then we have the holy river also to purify. Not only it can purify physically, but also spiritually, because this was a sacred place of Parsaram. And furthermore, by spiritual activities, such as kirtan and chanting and discussing about the Lord, hearing, etc., we can make the event very, very spiritual. So this is what the people of Dwarka and others did. They all gathered here, and they fasted and bathed in the river, etc. And everything was completed, and then they met together in a very friendly manner. So that is described here, how they had many friends and again met together in a very jovial mood after long separation. So this is a it's an introduction to the meeting of the people of Vrindavan with Krishna. But we have this introduction to indicate to some degree the glorious and regal aspect of this particular event. All the Yadus came and the queens of Krishna came, all on their, you know, palanquins, etc., with their horses and their ornaments, etc. So it was a very royal occasion when all these different kshatriyas met together. The whole list of different persons are mentioned, and we can see that most of them are kshatriyas coming to this place, different families of Kurus and Matsyas and Kambojas, Kaikeyas, etc. Different kshatriya families came there. So it was a very glorious, regal display. The people of Vrindavan came, but they were quite different because they were simply cowherds. Of course, they're glorious in their own way, because Nanda Maharaj also had wealth. We have a description how Nanda Maharaj went to Mathura to pay the taxes, but they simply had carts and they filled it up with ghee and yogurt and milk products. That was their paying their tax. So we don't have elaborate descriptions of, you know, wealth, etc., displayed. So therefore, the people of Vrindavan were quite different from the people of Dwarka. Very, very great contrast. So Krishna had to deal with both sides. The one, he had to satisfy all the people, royalty there, the Yadus, and then all the other groups that were there, and display his power and opulence for them. And then he also had to satisfy the people of Vrindavan, who were not impressed by this show of opulence and pomp, etc. They were not impressed at all. In fact, opposite. They didn't like it. So we have Krishna put in this position where he had to satisfy both sides. So as we see, ultimately, even though he shows great affection for all these different persons here, and he has great affection for the Yadus, ultimately he had more affection for the people of Vrindavan. And after everything was finished, he stayed there with the people of Vrindavan and sent everyone else away and sent the people of Dwarka back to the city. But he stayed there because of his great attachment to those people, even though he was in quite a different position now. So this introduction here serves the purpose of showing the great contrast between Krishna at the present and the people of Vrindavan and Krishna as he was in the past. A very, very a great contrast between the two things. So though Krishna was in the present and he was occupying this great position of power, we see that he never forgot the people of Vrindavan, and he was more attached to them than anything else. So though he has attachment to the Yadus and he participates in all of their royal activities, he is more attached to the people of Vrindavan. And why is that? It's not a matter of wealth or no wealth or varna, etc. It's simply a matter of the strength of their devotion. The devotion, the intimate devotion of the people of Vrindavan was corresponded to Krishna's devotion for them. And therefore, this was the what Krishna was most attracted to, that great devotion of the people of Vrindavan, without regard for their status or anything else. So that is made clear later on. So though Krishna was now in a different type of position, his mind was still with the people of Vrindavan. it may not be apparent, but because he's, you know, in Dwarka fighting demons, going to the assembly, etc. But at the same time, we can intuit that from the way he responds to the people of Vrindavan. And of course, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find there a more detailed description when Narada Muni goes to Dwarka, and there he finds that Krishna is absorbed in the people of Vrindavan, and he praises the Yadus, you're the most close associates of the Lord because you always get to be with the Lord. And then they say, no, we're not with the Lord. We see him only in the morning when he comes to the assembly, and then he disappears, so we don't see him. Once a day we see him, and he's not there. And of course, then they say, well, actually, Uddhava's dear, because Uddhava goes with him to the assembly, he also goes with him to his palaces, so Uddhava's more dear. But then when Narada Muni glorifies Uddhava, then Uddhava says, oh, I'm not so dear. Yes, Krishna's here with me, and I'm with Krishna, and we go everywhere. But actually, Krishna's not here, because he's always thinking of the people of Vrindavan. And even when he's sleeping, he's dreaming of the people of Vrindavan. And when he wakes up, he is lamenting for the people, separation from the people of Vrindavan. The people of Vrindavan are dearer than anyone. They have the most mercy, because Krishna is always thinking of them. So in this way, people of Vrindavan are glorified there. So we should never think that, though Krishna looks like he's preoccupied here, same time, he also feels that great separation. And therefore, he finally fulfills his promise, and he returns to Vrindavan later on. And then he stays there with them and enters into eternal pastimes with them because of his attachment to them. On the other hand, this does not mean that the Yadus were not devotees. They are also great devotees of the Lord, and they're also eternal associates. So we see that when Krishna disappeared, finally, from Dwarka pastimes, he actually didn't disappear. Because in Dwarka, the Yadus and Krishna eternally perform their pastimes there also. So he's attached to the Yadus also. And even though he disappeared from the earth, and the Yadus also seem to disappear, actually, they remain eternally in Dwarka, and Krishna is there with them, performing pastimes. So he has affection for the Yadus also in Dwarka. He doesn't neglect them at all. But simultaneously, he has his attachment to the people of Vrindavan, and in fact, he manifests more attachment there for the people of Vrindavan. So by the supreme power of Krishna, he can satisfy everybody in whatever mode of devotion they have. So the Yadus have one type of devotion, which is mixed with the understanding that Krishna is Supreme Lord. And the people of Vrindavan have devotion with no idea that Krishna is God. They only appreciate their relationship with him as a friend or lover or parent, etc. So Krishna satisfies both parties by manifesting himself for them and responding appropriately at all times.
Maharaj, during the eclipse time, they say that for all the food stuff, what is there, we put a darba grass in that. So how does that grass protect the contamination of the food?
It's a purification. So darba is considered to be pure. They use darba grass in the sacrifices. When they do yajna, then they use darba. And they make a little pavitra ring out of it, etc. They use darba for the asans, etc. Apparently, it is said to be darba grass arose when Varaha dove in the water, and then he came out of the Garbhadak ocean and he shook himself off, and the hairs on his body became the darba grass. So therefore, it's got some special purity to it also.
Is it the same with Tulsi also? Like instead of darba, can Tulsi be used? know.
I suppose so. One could use tulsi also because tulsi is pure. We could just use Ganga water or whatever, but traditionally they use darba grass for some reason. Maybe that's the Vedic system.
I mentioned that inauspicious Ekadasi day becomes beneficial when used for the glorification of the Hari.
Uh-huh.
So eclipse itself is inauspicious. I mean that on the particular time, if the devotee engages them in devotional service, like it counteracts the negative impact. Like
what is that? The
on the day of eclipse.
Yeah.
It's inauspicious.
Yeah.
We do any auspicious thing.
Yeah.
But here it is said we can do the Hari Bhajan and glorification.
Yeah. Actually, the Ekadasi is not really inauspicious. It's called the day of Hari. So actually, it's very auspicious. It is not. It's not a Amavasya. Amavasya generally is considered to be a little bit not so auspicious in terms of Muhurta. Other days, they have various degrees of auspiciousness, but Ekadasi is not particularly inauspicious as such. Other days are, might say, more inauspicious among Tithis, but. The main thing is that it's called the day of the Supreme Lord, Harivasara. So it's a day to commemorate the Lord. Different days, different tithis are, deities you worship. I think Lakshmi is worshipped for one tithi, etc. That's all. 11th day is the day of the Vishnu. So therefore, on that day, we should respect Vishnu. So something like on the appearance day of Krishna, then we fast. So then we fast on the Ekadasi, and that is in honor of Vishnu. That's of course purifying as well.
They perform a lot of purification processes during eclipse day. So sometimes they criticize ISKCON devotees, you're not into that, you people are only chanting. Yeah. We don't do much of that. Preliminary auspicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just a matter of how far we want to follow rules of different scriptures. So if we depend on the Smritis or the Vedic rules, then those people will follow those particular rules. And then they get purification or they avoid impurity. But we know that a devotion to the Lord and chanting the holy name are the most powerful purifying processes and most beneficial processes to counteract any inauspiciousness. So therefore, if we do those, that also very, very good. It may not be the same as the other rituals. It looks quite different and also quite easy compared to the other rituals, but the power is there. And therefore, the devotees prefer to do this because it's directly related to the Supreme Lord and most powerful as well. Okay. So we see at the time of the eclipse of, there was an eclipse of the moon, I guess, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, then they were chanting the name of the Lord in the and bathing in the Ganga. So that was done by the people at that time.
Sometimes people may question that even Krishna himself performs all these purificatory processes. Why you not do? Lord himself follows all the rules and regulations. He goes to the pilgrimage place, office oblation.
Well, he does, but in a certain way, and also not completely, we can say, because he also broke the rules in certain cases, like he took his food in the house of Mathura, the fallen outcast or whatever, Subhuti Rai. Who was condemned to be an outcast because the Muslims sprinkled water on him like that. Or he carried out the funeral rites for Haridas Thakur and he touched his body when he shouldn't touch the body of a Chandala or whatever, or an outcast, a Yavana or whatever. Yes, he followed, but then he also broke the rules in deference to honoring the Vaishnavas. And of course, glorifying the process of bhakti.
And we understand that to the extent we are pure, that much we have to follow the rituals. If we are very pure, no need to, like Madhavendra Puri, he says, I don't want Homa, I'm not Rana, debtor to anything.
Yeah.
I only want to worship the Lord's feet.
Yeah. Well, there's different degrees. If one is renounced, like a Babaji and is qualified for that, then he doesn't have to follow anything. If one is not born in the Varna Ashram system, then he's also not obliged to follow anything technically. He's not qualified to. So therefore, he takes shelter of bhakti, and that's sufficient for him. And the person who is fallen also, like Subhuti Rai or others, again, they're not obliged to follow the Vedic rituals of purification. But they follow the process of bhakti, and that takes the place also. Those who are born into the system, then they are obliged to follow it according to that system. At the same time, we also recognize that the process of bhakti is the highest punya, the most purifying, and the most spiritual process. Although you may carry out the other rituals, etc., one should also perform the processes of bhakti. Without that, then it's also incomplete. The person who's born into that system, he'll follow both sets of rules. But we'll see that there's no different effect, ultimately, for the outcast who's simply doing the bhakti, or the fallen person like Subhuti Rai who's only doing the bhakti, or the person who does the rituals and he also does the bhakti within the system. They get the same result in terms of advancing in bhakti. So bhakti is the main purificatory element there. So why do they follow then? As a matter of custom and whatever, and to not disturb the social system, whatever. And there's nothing particularly wrong with those rituals also, as long as one is not overly attached to them. So in the Nectar Devotion, where it defines pure bhakti, then it says karma jnana anavritam, not covered by karma and jnana. So one can do the processes of karma and jnana as long as they do not obstruct. So the jnana will obstruct when we get attached to impersonalism, then it becomes an obstacle. The karma can be an obstruction if we have material desires to fulfill through those karmas. We take them as pious acts and we want to enjoy artha and kama out of them. Then that's mixed bhakti, and that's an obstruction. Or if we're attached to those particular rituals and we think if we don't do them, then we're sinful and we have to do them, then that attachment itself is considered not proper. So then the only reason is we do them is to set an example for others who are within that system. And you do them in that way without attachment, then it's considered okay. It's not an obstruction. It's not a covering on the bhakti.
I think among the Madhvas and Ramanuja,
yeah,
they do the morning Pratha Sandhyas very strictly.
Yeah.
And they've been given that. And though they belong to the four bona fide sampradayas,
yeah,
like us. Yeah. And they sometimes, when they see ISKCON devotees or Gaudiya Sampradaya, You people do only just 3 minutes Gayatri and just, you know, we do Surya Namaskara and procedures. So how to contract them? We tell them or we can discuss them?
They're following a different system. And of course, if they were to examine closely, then they'd probably say, okay, don't do it, because most of the people are not coming from pure families anyway, and majority are foreigners anyway, so they wouldn't be qualified to do that system anyway. And those, let's say there's a few who are qualified, maybe a few Brahmins, but even among the devotees, how many are Brahmins following? Not many. I think it's a minority, probably. And most come from born in lower Varnas, etc. So the percentage of people that would do them is not much. So we'll see that the majority of the Madhvas and the Shris, you'll see, are Brahmins. And therefore there's greater prevalence of following that particular system, because the majority of the people there are Brahminical. Of course, we probably have, Vaishya, Kshatriya, three Vaishnavas there are. Yeah. They follow everything, though, Vedically?
Madhvas don't allow, Ramanujas allow.
Yeah, so Madhvas not at all, I think. You don't have
only
any.
Brahmins.
It's all Brahmins. So then it's automatically they'll be following that system, because the majority of people are like that. So
when a devotee in ISKCON, who is born to a Brahmin family to do the morning sandhyas?
They can do.
If he
not
can,
a problem.
Provided he finishes 16 rounds.
Well, yeah, they should not sacrifice bhakti, the vidis of bhakti for the normal, you know, rituals they do.
Soul becomes like smells like sandalwood.
What is that?
When the Naam is chanted purely, the breath, sweat, soul, everything smells like sandalwood.
So?
Through.
Well, through, that's of course a secondary side effect. The goal of chanting is not to smell nice. But automatically, if one chants, then we have spiritual effect and we have material effect. Okay? So therefore, the chanting affects the body and purifies the body. That's all. As well as, the, of course, the mind, and then the Atma itself develops its relationship with the Supreme Lord. So it operates in all levels.
Maharaj, we hear that the one who understands Krishna, automatically he becomes superior to Brahmana, like that we hear. So, will that become wrong, that if he does any of the activities which Brahmana is supposed to do, even though he is outcast, means he is not supposed to do, but since he is a devotee, so okay.
Can he do?
No, I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah, there's a little bit of a, in relation to that verse in Bhagavatam, that one who remembers the Lord or chants the Lord's name purely once, then he's immediately qualified to do the yajna that a brahmana does. Huh? But then the commentator, Sridhar Swami, says, but he doesn't do those particular yajnas, because still the birth, he hasn't been qualified. And Vishnu Chakravarti also, I think, says that Arjuna and Jiva or whatever, that he hasn't learned the procedures, so therefore he doesn't do it for that reason, not because he's not qualified, but because he hasn't learned the procedures or whatever. And I think Vishnu finally says, ultimately, he's not really interested in doing those acts anyway, because he's more interested in doing bhakti, so that's why he doesn't do. But technically he says he is qualified to do those particular acts or whatever that the brahmana does. Huh? But I think Jiva Goswami goes into the whole detail that in order to do those actions, then he would have to be educated properly as a brahmachari. So therefore, he would have to take a birth and then get educated to learn the different mantras and the different techniques and have a brahmachari education. Then he would be qualified to do the sacrifices and whatever like that.
Sometimes the intercaste marriage is increasing. A Brahmin boy marries the lower,
yeah.
Even Madhvas and Ramanujas, Iyengars, they get married to their Harijan or whatever.
Yeah.
So future we may have a completely mixed population, there may no any pure language.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are, probably within Shastra House its rules, technically they're outcasts or whatever, they end up in a lower Varna or something like that, or they're outcasts actually. Some of the mixtures that become like mlechas or something, huh? They're considered mlechas because of the mixture. But as far as each sampradaya, they probably have some sort of procedure for handling that. I don't know what they do. What does the Sri Sampradaya
do? The girl takes
do?
The caste of the boy. The boy is a higher caste when she gets married.
Well, generally, the woman marrying a higher caste is not considered so good, whereas it's permissible in some cases for the higher caste to lower them, marry the lower caste, the man. That's the normal system, but. You know, each sampradaya will probably have particular rules for how they handle that situation.
This is increasing more because both boys and girls are going to work now. They get associated in the office and they get married. They don't see what caste you are. They just want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah. So that means that the technical varnas in terms of birth disappear. Huh? But then we have the other thing, the varna by qualities. Huh? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, in the past, there was birth was a qualification, and qualities was a qualification, and upbringing was a qualification. Huh? In Kali Yuga, the birth becomes less important, huh? And then the emphasis would be more on the qualities that manifest and the upbringing which would manifest those qualities properly. And then the person could perform the activities of a particular varna. We see that happened in ancient times when the Rishabha's sons, some of them became sages and some became kshatriyas or whatever like that. But in as far as modern, let's say 500,000 years ago or whatever, it doesn't seem to be operating so much, and it was just the varnas, was the birth was the only seemed to be the qualification, and not the qualities. It wasn't emphasized.
No, qualities also not been seen. They see only which college you studied, how much money you had, and which country.
Well, that's even less lower qualities they're emphasizing there.
Yeah, nature. They only
see
the external.
Not seeing the nature, they're seeing the externals nowadays.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
To get the Kindle edition of the book, we can visit Amazon website for your country. And sign in with your account. We can search the book by typing the title of the book or type H.H. Bhanuswami in the search bar to get the complete list of Maharaj's publications. By clicking H.H. Bhanuswami, we can see the entire library. Let's select a book, say Gopal Champu. On the right-hand side, we will find a drop-down box with the title, Deliver To. Click on it to select your device. Click Buy Now and proceed with your login details and complete the payment process. Some of the books are free with Kindle Unlimited. We can get them by clicking here. To get the paperback edition, please click here. Thank you. To get Kindle app, please visit the Google Play Store and install it. Open the Kindle app. Click on Start Reading. And then, let's get started. If the search box is not there, click Next till you find the search box. We can search the book by typing the title of book or type H.H. Bhanuswami in the search bar to get the complete list of Maharaj's publications. By clicking on See More, we can get the entire library. Select the book. You can also check the sample by clicking here. Buy now and enjoy reading. We finally proceed to the payment option. Hare Krishna.